So I went to a Pride Book Festival this weekend.
Love it.
It was super fun. I bought way too many books.
No such thing.
RIP my bank account. But oh well. Yeah, overall, it was really fun. I loved talking to all the authors and seeing them be really passionate about the stories. I will say, though, I'm not sure if this is normal or not, but there were multiple, like three or four authors who, while pitching me their book, gave away what I would consider to be fairly large spoilers for their own books.
So marketing is an art form, and not everybody's got it
and
down.
I'm like, wow, cool, that's a really great twist. I'm not gonna read your book anymore.
Yeah, it's like trailers. Sometimes movie trailers do the same thing.
Yes. Yeah. Like, don't show me the surprise character that's going to show up halfway through. I don't want to know.
Right.
I don't want to find out that how if you don't tell me in the blurb on the back of the book that a character has powers or there's some big twist, I don't want to know about it.
Yep.
I don't want to. Don't tell me.
Everybody needs to take a So Alfred Hitchcock was like the OG master of marketing. So like when Psycho came out, Vivian Leigh was the star. Like made people sign that if they saw the movie, they would not spoil it for other people or there will be legal consequences. People get in there. They're like, she's dead at the 1/3 point. Wait, what?
Yeah. What? What's happening?
Horror? Blair Witch Project? Everyone thought that shit was an actual documentary because the marketing was so... Horror people? Get marketing.
They know
they
how to
fucking
market.
Know what they're doing.
It was a lot of fantasy and a lot of horror at this book con. I actually, one of the books I got, it looks like a Goosebumps book.
Love.
And it's called Rollator from Hell. Like, you know, there's like Walker things, like a Rollator.
That's amazing.
Yes. I'm very, very excited to read that one. There's also another one that I bought. It's about these two, I think they're like witches, and they move into this house and then they have to battle the HOA. And I'm just so excited because fuck HOAs.
I love that.
Like, and he like was like gonna keep going. I was like, you don't have to say anything else. They're beefing with the HOA. I'm here
for
it. Don't
say a single more.
Don't say a single other word.
Yep.
Anyway, so that was super, super fun.
I'm super sad I couldn't come with you for that.
I know. How dare you have a birthday party?
I know. It wasn't even like a super fun birthday party. That's fine.
No, it wasn't. Wait a second. You didn't even come to my kid's birthday party, but you went to this other rando kid's birthday party?
Didn't I have like a funeral or something?
No, you had to go to a Pride Fest meeting.
Oh, that close enough.
Close enough. Just so everyone knows. Pride Fest meetings and funerals.
Sometimes. Very similar. Sometimes I'm like, can I stop doing this? It's very stressful. And the answer is no. The answer is just no. Hello, everyone. We have a game episode today.
Game.
We will be exploring one of the more bizarre, upsetting, deceptively simple games I have ever had the pleasure of stumbling upon.
Mm-hmm.
A little indie game that started out as a flash game. And has done remarkably well for itself. A game that makes me feel a little sick in my tummy. This game is none other than The Binding of Isaac. Because of both the simplicity of the style of gameplay and the insane heaviness of the actual story behind the game, I'm going to start by talking about the gameplay so you have like a visual in your head of what this game looks like. Before walloping you with the story, which juxtaposed with the cute art and simple gameplay is like all the more
Is it like the Bible story?
It is inspired by, but not a direct one-to-one.
Okay.
So, okay, real quick, it is named after, inspired by the story in the book of Genesis, where God tells Abraham, hey, buddy, go sacrifice your son Isaac to me. And Abraham is like,
okay,
all right. So they go up a mountain. Old man Abraham ties up Isaac, puts him on a bunch of wood, and then an angel's like, whoa, 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 hey, hey there, you certainly are zealous, aren't you? Don't do this. Put the knife down. Here, got to sacrifice something. There's a deer stuck in that those hedges.
It's a ram.
Ram, deer, whatever.
Do they have sheep. Deer there? Are the deer native to that area?
I think
area
there are
of
strains
world?
Of deer, like, all over the fucking place.
Oh, okay.
There was a deer I met when I was in Costa Rica that, like, licked my hand. He was very sweet. He
Cute.
Came right up and licked me.
Cute.
He was little. Anyway. So, yeah, that's the Bible story that it's related to.
Yep.
So, if we're all ready to have a bad time together.
It's Sunday school.
Let's rock this bitch. The Binding of Isaac is a 2011 roguelike action-adventure game. So, are you familiar with the term roguelike?
Nope.
So, roguelike, there was a game way, way back when called Rogue, and it was like the first of its time to be. So now they just call games like it roguelike, and that means that the map is different every time you play. Like, it kind of, the game regenerates itself. There are different items available. Basically, it's a game that's a little different every time you play it, which is how my husband has been able to sink over 100 hours into the Splash game, because it's different every time, and it keeps you coming back. It was designed by independent developers Edmund McMillan and Florian Himsel. It has gotten several facelifts over the years, like little graphics updates, things that make it able to be played on increasingly complex gaming systems, but the story and the gameplay basics have not changed.
Alrighty.
You play as Isaac, a young child, best guess somewhere between 3 and 7. Like, he has some working knowledge of school, but still very young and innocent.
Okay.
Isaac finds himself in a dungeon, and he has to make his way from location to location, fighting monsters, collecting items, and ultimately journeying deeper and deeper into... I'll explain that when we get into the plot section.
Ooh, okay.
At first, Isaac's only weapons are his own tears.
Oh my god!
He can cry in each of the 4 directions, and his tears do damage to the enemies. No, I'm serious. Like, yes, he shoots tears out of his eyes and it hurts them. So basically,
sorry.
No, it's so the game.
Go ahead and laugh. It's ridiculous.
So the game consists of moving Isaac around with the joystick, firing off tears in each direction with the D-pad, and just, like, trying to avoid monsters and hit them. You move from room to room, looking for the boss of each level. You kill enemies, you collect items, you open treasure chests. Once you kill the boss, you are shown the exit to the next level.
Okay.
I will say here, I am absolutely god-awful at this game.
Oh.
It is so fucking fast-paced. There is so much happening. So, like, juggling, like, moving around and dodging and, like, shooting off tears at people, and you have limited health, and it can just disappear so fast. It is a very stressful game, but we do it for the pod.
Yep.
So, anyway, through playing the game and making progress and beating it, you unlock new character costumes for Isaac, which give him different abilities. Costumes include Azazel, Mary Magdalene, Cain of Cain and Abel, Lilith, Eve, Samson. Basically all the bad boys and girls of the Bible and Christian mythology.
Yeah.
Basically all the characters that Isaac heard talked about and identified with because he himself believes he is a bad boy.
Aww.
I am almost getting ahead of myself there, though. I'm going to reel it back in. Azazel is the best costume. He can fly, and he shoots a stream of fire out of his eyes instead of stupid fucking tears. It takes a while to unlock Azazel, though.
Fire.
Azazel is the best. But let's get back to factory settings, Isaac, for a bit, because you have to beat the game as him first if you want to unlock anything else. Throughout each run, the game presents you with various items in many different forms. You can pick up trinkets, coins, bombs, tarot cards, books, keys, and pills.
Pills!
We'll get to the pills.
He's a child!
We will get to the pills. Each of these items both changes Isaac's character model, so he looks a little different, and they have some effect on what Isaac can do. Items, especially pills, have unpredictable effects, though. Usually they help. Sometimes they hurt.
Well, yeah, because he's a child and he's taking pills.
I'm gonna need you to breathe.
Okay.
And what items do what, especially the pills, is not consistent from play to play. So in one playthrough, the red pill boosts your tier power. In the next playthrough, the red pill slows you down and the green pill boosts your tier
power. Turns you into a griper?
Yes. Yep. Yep, that's what it does. Keys unlock treasure chests and locked doors. Coins can purchase items. It's pretty straightforward, except there are 341 items in this game. And the game will just let you stack as many as you find until you die or beat the game. And because each of them changes Isaac's character model, like I said, by the end of a run, Isaac looks fucking insane. He'll have, like, a weird hat and a spider friend on his shoulder and an eye patch, and he's covered in green goo. Like, just wild.
I love it.
Wild. Throughout the game, you progress from basement to caves to the depths to the womb.
The womb?
Yep. I promise. Babe, we will get there, I promise. Just hold on.
Okay, holding on.
The enemies you run into range from simple things like spiders, worms, flies, poop. Yes, poop is an enemy in the game. And it's actually, it makes sense in a really horrific way, but again, we're being premature here. Okay. There are zombies. There are blob creatures. There are lots of kinds of enemies. And please bear in mind, the art style of this game is cutesy and cartoonish and simple. But it's also fucked. Because then are the bosses. There's Daddy Longlegs, which is a spider with an upside-down person head.
Oh.
There is the Husk, which is a bloated corpse with an autopsy incision that shoots flies.
Oh, okay.
There's Gertie, which is just a pile of organs that can hurt you for some reason. There's Satan. Satan's an enemy in the game.
Hell yeah.
There are the seven deadly sins. There are the four horsemen. And then there's the big, bad final boss, Isaac's mom.
Oh.
So on that note, Paige, are you willing and able to transition to the plot overview? Now that you
am I willing and is, able? Oh, God.
It's about to get so fucking rough.
Alrighty. Here we go.
What follows is the opening monologue of this game verbatim.
Okay.
Isaac and his mother lived alone in a small house on a hill. Isaac kept to himself, drawing pictures and playing with his toys as his mom watched Christian broadcasts on the television. Life was simple, and they were both happy. That was until the day Isaac's mom heard a voice from above. Your son has become corrupted by sin. He needs to be saved. I will do my best to save him, my lord, Isaac's mother replied, rushing into Isaac's room, removing all that was evil from his life. Again, the voice called to her. Isaac's soul is still corrupt. He needs to be cut off from all that is evil in this world and confess his sins. I will follow your instructions, Lord. I have faith in thee, Isaac's mother replied, as she locked Isaac in his room away from the evils of the world. One last time, Isaac's mom heard the voice of God calling to her. You've done as I've asked, but I still question your devotion to me. To prove your faith, I will ask one more thing of you. Yes, Lord, anything, Isaac's mother begged. To prove your love and devotion, I require a sacrifice. Your son Isaac will be this sacrifice. Go into his room and end his life as an offering to me to prove you love me above all else. Yes, Lord, she replied, grabbing a butcher's knife from the kitchen. Okay. Isaac, watching through a crack in his door, trembled in fear, scrambling around his room to find a hiding place. He noticed a trap door to the basement, hidden under his rug. Without hesitation, he flung open the hatch just as his mother burst through his door and threw himself down into the unknown depths below. So that's pretty heavy, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I would say so.
The thing about this game is, outside of this opening monologue and a few bits of animation and like little cutscenes we get throughout, we are not told exactly what is happening to Isaac. It is from his perspective as a child.
Mm-hmm.
We are given hints and metaphors. So this is mine and Game Boy's interpretation of this game, cobbled together from our own experience playing it, as well as what folks like on fucking Reddit are saying. Like, right. Just look at it. Like, what do you think is happening? And then reading what other people say.
Okay.
So if you listeners at home have played this game and have different interpretations, personally, I would love to hear them. Buy me a coffee. Let's compare notes. But anyway, real quick general content warning, because shit is about to get difficult.
All right.
So, like, if you don't want to be bummed out, maybe hit pause and come back to this when you are in the mood to feel shitty. So.
I didn't get a content warning. I just got to sit here and listen.
You do. So, Isaac's mother essentially radicalizes herself by sitting at home and doing nothing but watching televangelists on TV all day.
That is what we call religious psychosis, friends.
Isaac's dad has left her before the game started. She has a pill addiction, which explains why Isaac finds these pills all over the place. And she is less and less and less in touch with reality. She, in her stupor, leaves Isaac unsupervised, locked in his room for long stretches of time. Meanwhile, Isaac, at his very young age, is hearing these Bible stories talked about, but he obviously doesn't get it, especially when filtered through his mom's drug-fueled psychosis.
Yeah.
So this religious imagery becomes the stuff of his nightmares. Finally, one day on a bender, his mother locks him in his room, threatens him, and then passes out in front of the TV. Isaac pretends he's escaping to the basement, but his bedroom doesn't have a trap door to the basement. He's pretending it's actually his toy chest. He crawls into his toy chest, pretending he's running into a basement, and he gets trapped in there.
So there's no trapdoor in his room?
No, it's like a cedar. It's like a toy. It's like an old school toy chest.
I don't understand.
And then the game itself is just what is happening in his imagination as he is trapped in this heavy toy box, and can't get out again. Can't lift the lid, either locked behind him or it's too heavy. And so he's just imagining all these things happening while he gets worse and worse and worse. So that's why, for example, poop is a monster, because he's trapped in a toy box with his own excrement. Eventually, Isaac dies. He suffocates in the toy chest, his mother completely unaware of what is happening with her son or with reality in general. And the last thing Isaac imagines before he dies is his mother as a monster. Brief silver lining is that once you've beaten the game, you unlock alternate endings that do involve Isaac surviving. But the first run story is a young boy who is neglected to death by his religiously psychotic mother.
Well, that's a bummer.
It's a fucking bummer. I don't know why. Like, as I'm telling you this, I'm thinking, like, why did I pick this game?
Why?
Because it's fascinating.
This isn't even fun. Normally we get to go hee hee ha ha with your games, it's and now so I'm heavy. Just sad.
This is the heaviest game I probably will. It is so heavy. And the fact that it looks like a cute cartoon makes it even heavier. Because it is his childlike imagination trying to cope with what his life is. And it's really a huge fucking bummer.
I'm sad.
Favorite moment?
We're already on favorite moment? Holy cow.
That's the whole plot. There's not much to it.
What are we going to talk about?
Well, let me fucking get there. The best thing about this game, if you ignore the plot and just go back to gameplay in your head, the way that some items work synergistically to make, like, crazy, insanely powerful shit happen is really fun. So, like, for example, one time I got four-directional shot, which means I could shoot in every direction at the same time, nice. No matter which button I hit. Could cry in all of the cardinal directions.
My poor baby.
I know. Now it's like even sadder. Like, oh, the tears are his only weapons. Then I got giant shot, which makes the tears real big. Okay. Then I got homing shot, which makes the tears like heat-seeking missiles that are attracted to the enemies. And then I got sights. Like, the tears weren't tears anymore. They were just spinning sights. So by the end...
Out of his eyes!
Yes, by the end, I had four giant sights directly targeting enemies, shooting in every direction. So by that point, you don't have to play the game. Just as like waltz through and hit the button and enjoy the carnage.
That's fantastic. Yep. The part that... Sorry.
No, it's, I know, it's like, that is what this game is. It's like, fun, oh, wait, engaging gameplay, just... horrible story behind
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Oh, God.
The part that made me want to break the controller, other than, like, when I figured out what the story was happening, and we'll talk about gameplay. I don't have, like, a distinct most frustrating moment, because I found the entire game difficult and frustrating, but... A thing that would happen occasionally is you see a door that has, like, really jagged edges.
Okay.
And you can go through the door to see what's in the room beyond, but it costs you half of a heart.
Oh.
And you only have so many of those to begin with, and sure, the game drops more, but it's fucking never enough.
No.
So anyway, sometimes when you go through these doors, it's a treasure room, and it's totally worth it. And sometimes you go through it, and it's just more enemies. And no payoff. And sometimes the enemies do you so much damage that you literally can't go back through the door and leave the room without fucking dying. And that happened to me once, and it gave me the big rage. Character I had a crush on. There's no way I'm fucking answering this question.
No.
This is a game about a child who was abused and neglected to death. Fuck you, you perverts at home, for even asking me this question, for even thinking this question. Shame on you.
Okay, but is it Gertie?
The pile of organs? Fuck. No.
Or is it the one with the flies?
Oh, the body with the... Honestly, it's probably the spider with the upside down head. Yep, we're going to go with that.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a quick episode because this is a quick game and I'm tired as fuck. Here's the thing. Overall rating. This is a fantastic roguelike game. There is so much potential for variability that the replay value is just off the fucking charts. Also, I love an incredibly dark story.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
One that involves like high control religion and religious trauma is like, sign me the yeah. fuck up.
I do love a good religious trauma story.
Yeah.
Although I wish he wasn't freaking toddler.
Yeah. Well, like 3 to 7. He's very young. It's,
yeah.
It's very tragic. He survives later, just not the first time.
But that's like my child.
I know. Trust me. Like, the like crawling into a toy chest and not being able to get back out and just like being stuck in. That's one of my.
That's terrifying. I have such bad claustrophobia. Like, yeah. Just thinking about that is making me want to hyperventilate.
Well, I think that's why he has to hallucinate, like, pretend he's not there.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. One of my biggest fears is that, like, if I'm home alone with Pop-Tart, like, if something happens to me and then she's just, like, by herself.
Yeah.
That's just, like, I'm so afraid of, like, how she would feel and how scared she would be. Like, that's mm-hmm. my big, like, yeah. What if she winds up alone somewhere?
Yeah.
But also, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, is this game fucking difficult? Every run is different, but they also all made me want to do, like, real actual murder. It's such a hard game.
Unless you get four giant scythe eyes.
Unless you get lucky items and, yeah. But, like, overall, I give this game a 7.
Okay.
It's good for what it is. It's not necessarily my kind of game. The story is my kind of game. The gameplay is not my kind of game.
Hmm.
I know better gamers than I am with more skill with games like this that rate it much higher than that, but I'm just a soft, fluffy, sensitive little baby, so. 7.
Who almost exclusively plays survival horror games.
But that's not hard for me. It's the quick, fast, like, dodge and shoot, and, like, it's when I feel rushed is when I can't deal with the game. Like, if it's too fast-paced, I'm like, nope, I'm out.
Gotcha.
I don't have the reaction time for that. But yeah, this was just a little quick dive on a short game. You can get it on Steam. You can get it on most platforms, honestly. It started out as a Flash game, like I said. So it's simple but effective. If you want to play a game and not be traumatized, like, you don't have to. You can play this game and miss all of these clues if you want to.
Well, not anymore.
Not anymore. It's too late. But anyway, this has been Paige and Pixel. You can find us on Instagram at Paige and Pixel PC.
I'll try to post things, I promise. I'm sorry.
It's all good. But for now.
Read hard.
Play hard. And fuck televangelists.